From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. I am Steve Hook. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. We've got a big show for you today. I'm really kind of jazzed about my guest. Frank Gaffney will be joining me here before long. Frank is a longtime fixture in D.C. He's the author of the latest book, The Indictment, Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. That's a mouthful, but man, I tell you what, I've been looking through the book, kind of perusing it, and it's pretty strong. Frank is also the founder and executive chair for the Center for Security Policy. That's a nonprofit that champions peace through strength. Of course, he was also in the Reagan administration. He's the vice chair for the Committee on the Present Danger, China, and he's the host of Securing America with Frank Gaffney. It's a daily television program on Real America's Voice Network. And the accolades go on and on with Frank Gaffney, but we look very forward to chatting with him. We're going to talk to him about the book, obviously. He recently spoke out against the World Health Organization and basically the Biden administration's handing off our sovereignty to a foreign entity for all intents and purposes. And it's going to what's going on there. And I, knowing the Bidens as well as I know the Bidens, there's probably a lot of money changing hands here. And I suspect that Frank is going to comment on that very subject. And we'll see where we go from here. But I must say that the WHO with Tedros and the backing of China certainly doesn't mean us any good. So we'll chat with Frank about the book. And we'll also talk about today. They're calling it D-Day for Christopher Wray because today is the day that the Congress has basically told the FBI, you're going to have to really give us this document we want to see. And the document they want to see, by the way, for your own info, is all about direct ties that Joe Biden has had with Hunter Biden and foreign actors, basically a pay-to-play scheme, selling influence, which we've always known, we've always long suspected. Apparently, the FBI is sitting on a non-classified document that confirms this. And Christopher Wray has heretofore not wanted to turn it over. And he keeps citing things like sources and tactics and all this crap that they throw at you, but it's not classified. The question is, by the end of the day, will it be marked classified? And then they'll say, oh, sorry, it's classified. You can't see it. Now, I don't know that, but I do know that there's a lot of power in these committees, a lot more than the media is willing to let on. But Comer, James Comer, Jim Jordan, and of course, Speaker Kevin McCarthy have a lot of power to wield on this end, on this situation. And we'll see how it plays out. But I'm sure Frank will have a lot to say about that because there's a lot to be said about it. My God, I mean, if the executive officer, the president, the commander in chief is selling us down the river for his own personal gain, which would come as absolutely zero shock to anyone that knows anything about Biden's history. But if that is true, that is a game changer. That is massive. We talked about this last week. This is so much bigger than Watergate. It makes Watergate look like just a little trick, not a big deal. This is huge because it ropes in not just Biden and the administration. It ropes in various intel agencies. It ropes in the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ. All the alphabet organizations are acting at the behest of a very, very crooked administration. And we're going to get to the bottom of it, or as much as we can, in the short time that we've got, Frank. But I promise you, it'll be an enlightening and a very, very interesting interview. So stick around for that. Hey, did you know that there are all kinds of ways you can listen to TNT Radio? You can stream us directly from our website, of course, at tntradio.live. You can do that on your tablet, your mobile device, whatever. I recommend you download the app, though, from the App Store or Google Play, wherever you get your apps. Hey, we even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've always got you covered on TNT Radio.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, let's welcome my man Ruckus into the mix here. Adam Clark. Well, from Bud Light to Target, and now it looks like Kohl's and Walmart are stepping into this. Calls from conservatives to boycott these businesses behaving badly show no sign of slowing down. And curiously enough, the businesses being boycotted appear to be completely non-pulse. They don't care about any of this. Now, the big question that everybody's asking is why do they not care? Exactly what is driving these woke companies to act the way they do, seemingly ignoring the demands of their own customers and consumers and foregoing the profits? Very odd. Joining me now, TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Ruckus, this does seem strange. It looks like Budweiser's trying to kind of walk it back a little bit, but not so much with these others, huh?
Well, Steve, it only seems strange to you and I because we're kind of old-fashioned, I suppose. I come from the business and marketing world, so I personally don't understand this because this flies directly in the face, a full 180 opposite of everything that I learned about what is the most important thing when running a business. That's usually your bottom line, but to achieve that means that your boss is the customer. You're supposed to cater to your consumers, not your ESG scores, and that's what's going on. So let me bring everybody up to speed here, because this is definitely not going to stop. This is going to keep happening. I made a comment on another show yesterday, half kidding, but now I think I'm serious, that you watch the way things are developing, Steve. This year, we're not going to have BLM riots. We're going to have TLM riots, and I think you understand what the T stands for. All right, so let's catch everybody up to speed with what's going on with Kohl's now. And I'm going to turn to I'm going to see what Joseph McKinnon, writing for The Blaze, has to say to let you guys know. This is great what he says. He says, quote, "Concerned parents and other conservatives newly reminded of their capacity to hold businesses accountable are prepared to once again wield the power of the purse. This time, the department store chain Kohl's is the business believed to be deserving of a chastening. Kohl's is ostensibly in the business of selling clothing, bedding, appliances, and ephemera. However, some shoppers have highlighted that the retail chain is also in the business of peddling LGBT propaganda. The retailer, which has over 1,100 stores in 49 states, notes on its website, quote, "We are committed to amplifying and affirming the voices of the LGBTQIA+ community, celebrating the joy that comes from living authentically and unapologetically, not just this month, but all year long," end quote. Sounds nice. Kohl's catalog makes clear its commitment to advancing the LGBT agenda. Turning Point USA Ambassador Alex LaRussa noted that among the company's activist apparel is a quote-unquote baby Sonoma community pride bodysuit set. It's fitted for newborns, 3 months olds, and toddlers of various sizes. Now, I hope that the listener understands the problem here, because kids don't we just don't do this. All right. Yeah. Anyway, so the outfit's description on Kohl's site is, quote, "Celebrate the joy that comes from," oh yeah, I already said that. Sorry. There was another, where was it? There was this tweet. Here we go. ALX, a verified account on Twitter, highlighted this product and said this about it. Quote, "In case you need clothes for your gay or trans 3 month old, Kohl's has you covered," end quote. Yeah, obviously, there's no such thing. Extra to selling LGBT activist baby bibs and kitsch, Kohl's also has a quote-unquote gender-free fashion brand. Cool. And an activist underwear brand called Tomboy X. All right. So what is going on here? Well, Target is also starting to come under fire. This is all thanks to, well, I guess this is a side effect the Bud Light thing, but Target. This all goes back to the thing that's happening with Target. And the dust hasn't even settled with that one yet. We're still arguing about that. But obviously, Target has been the focus recently of boycott calls due to their offering of Pride products. And this all has to do with three little letters. Target does this, Walmart does this, and Kohl's does this. Most big companies do this. All of this activism, because that's what it is. This is no longer marketing or business or sales. What this really is activism. And it is driven by a desire to maintain their ESG score. This is based on its internal policies as well as on the degree to which it signals its ideological compliance in outward facing actions. Let me explain. ESG principles, which this is pressure coming down from the shareholders. So you look at a company like BlackRock, who invests a lot of money into, say, Target or Walmart or Kohl's. Well, they say, hey, listen, Target, Walmart, Kohl's, if you want our money, because we got some good money and we're just willing to throw it at you, you have to do X, Y, and Z under these ESG principles. And these force the companies to look beyond making profits and focus instead on taking actions related to all the things, those famous issues like climate change, racism, and sexual identity. And again, this is just to appease large investors. This isn't even to appease the little guy shareholders. This is to appease BlackRock, Bill Gates, people like that. This is ridiculous. They have these other things too. Walmart, for instance, received a full 100 points on their Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equity Index. That's another one, the CEI. To get a perfect CEI score, an organization has to donate to LGBT causes as well as refuse to donate to non-religious organizations that oppose such causes. And the organization must also support gender transitioning. Now, they also, in addition to selling these products in their stores, which is how people are getting upset about this, there's a lot more happening behind the scenes. This also involves with who they hire, who they work with. Walmart has been shown to do this thing called inclusive sourcing. It's a program for LGBT groups. Walmart's Supplier Inclusion Initiative offers companies owned and operated by members of LGBT and other identities like ethnic and racial minorities, quote, the opportunity to work with us while growing their business, end quote. Sounds nice, but check this out. According to Walmart's 2022 ESG report in July, quote, for our U.S. businesses, we sourced more than $13.3 billion in goods and services from approximately 2,600 diverse suppliers, end quote. I think we're starting to understand a little bit better, Steve, what the problem is. What do you think about all this?
I think it's sickening. What it is, I'll tell you, Ruckus, the way I see this is this comes down from on high. These corporations, BlackRock, Vanguard, these big money changers, and they've got a lot of people have their 401ks in these companies. They're dictating this, but they're dictating policy based on what they suspect those in power in government want them to do. So they're going along with it. It's corporations run amok here, and they're getting involved in politics. And I just don't know how. You mentioned it in the piece there, Adam. They don't much give a damn about the profits. To them, it's all about Daddy Warbucks, who's going to fund them. And I think, I don't know what the hell we're going to do to change it, but I suspect we're going to have to change it starting in 2024. But I find it disgusting. When I was a child, nobody was marketing heterosexual products to me. Nobody even thought about gender and diversity and crap like that when it came to sex to children. But these groups are doing it, and it's wrong. It's wrong-headed. And the real kick in the ass is they're also funding, as you mentioned, religious groups that are speaking out on it. They're saying, okay, well, we're going to fund the groups that speak out against the religious groups, but we're not going to fund the religious groups. Oh, no, that won't happen. So I think it's an absolute destruction of our of the civil society. And I think it's being dictated by big corporations with very deep pockets that have very close ties to the U.S. federal government. And it's pathetic. But, you know, I don't know. Bud Light, though, definitely is trying to backpedal a little bit on it. InBev is trying to backpedal. But you're saying that it's looked like Target and Kohl's and the rest just don't much give a damn.
Yeah, I think the Target, the Kohl's, the Walmart is a different story than Bud Light. I'm not trying to play devil's advocate with the Bud Light thing, but it does appear that maybe we kind of blew that out of proportion because they took one can that was sent to one dude. It's not like you could go to the store and buy those cans, you know what I mean? So people kind of blew that one a little bit out of proportion, but it is important to you know, it was setting the stage for this for sure, because it started opening up the eyes of some people out there. There were some armchair detectives that started digging in. And I think a lot of this stuff would have just flew by the radar if it wasn't for what happened with Bud Light. That's my opinion. And to be sure, yeah, to correct you, I do believe, from what I understand studying this in one of the articles here, that they are allowed to donate to religious organizations. However, they have to refuse to donate to non-religious organizations that oppose the LGBT causes.
Oh,
because
okay.
Obviously,
okay, I misheard,
because it makes sense if you're religious, it's against your religion to promote, you know, things against your religion. So it's okay if they want to donate to a Catholic charity, they can do that. But if you're a conservative group who's not religious and you're just like, hey, I don't think this is great, we don't like your woke agenda, then they're not going to donate to you. They're not allowed to, because you're opposing the LGBT cause and you're not religious.
Right. Well, let me just say this before we let you go, because you mentioned the Bud Light can, how we may have blown it out of proportion. I have always been of the mind that it wasn't the can. It wasn't even Dylan Mulvaney. It was when that Wharton Business School young marketing girl gave that interview where she basically said, we don't give a damn about our regular customers. We want to get away from the fratty mentality. I think that is what set people over the edge. They're like, wait a minute. You're marketing to a fringe element here. And not only that, that's bad enough. But then you basically tell your core consumers and your customer base, we don't much like you. I think that's where it really kind of hit the fan, so to speak. But we're gonna have to follow it up. And I appreciate it, Ruckus. Appreciate the story, brother. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
You betcha, senior. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Take care. There he goes. That's Adam Clark. All right, you're listening to the Steve Hook Show. Man, oh man, I can't wait to get back from this very short break, because my guest today, Frank Gaffney. We're going to be discussing his brand new book, The Indictment, Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. We'll also dive into the FBI holdout. It looks like Christopher Wray's trying to hold out on a memo. Today's the day. So Frank, I'm sure, has something to say about all of that. And he will, on the other side, on the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
You know, time is running out. Janet Yellen says June 1st. It might be a few days after that. And then there's the 14th Amendment thrown into it all, which Biden seems to think he could sign, and then it would go to court, but it would give us more time. So what's your take? Will there be an agreement between McCarthy and Biden? And if not, do you see the 14th Amendment as Biden's option?
No, I think there will eventually be an agreement. I mean, not to date myself, but I've been around this since I was working for the now late Congressman Bud Schuster from Pennsylvania, and I was his budget committee staff person, his legislative director. I sat in for hours on endless hours of meetings with Democratic staff and Democratic members and Republican members about how to negotiate the budget and how to avoid exactly the kind of thing we're talking about right now. Eventually, agreement was reached, and it's reached because neither side wants to be responsible for being seen as responsible for utter disaster and default and all of that. So I'm optimistic just because I think each side is perpetually scared of being blamed for a disaster.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement It's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
You're listening to Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. I'm just thrilled to welcome my guest today, Frank Gaffney. Frank is author of the new book I just mentioned, The Indictment, Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. He is also the founder and executive chair of the Center for Security Policy. That's a nonprofit that champions peace through strength, very Reagan-esque. He's also the vice chair of the Committee on the Present Danger, China, and the host of Securing America with Frank Gaffney. The accolades go on. Without further ado, let's welcome him to the program. Frank Gaffney, hello, sir. How are you? It's so good to have you.
Steve, it's great to be with you. It's okay. A pleasure. Thank you.
Welcome to the program, Frank. Boy, I wish this was a five-hour program because I've got so much to discuss with you. But right out of the gate, let's talk about your book. I saw you on the steps of the Capitol a couple of weeks ago, talking about the World Health Organization. And this book kind of goes directly to that. It looks to me, and I think anyone that has half a brain looks at this, it looks like this administration is kind of selling our sovereignty right out the back door with the World Health Organization and Tedros. What's the story here?
Well, if I could just set the stage a little bit and then jump into that, because that's really vital to get to. The backstory is that the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, has been engaged in what they call unrestricted warfare against our country for decades. This entails a large number of lines of attack, none of which is violent in character, though I have to say that the biological warfare element was pretty darn violent. It's killed over a million of us, after all. But the World Health Organization gambit, the so-called global governance scheme that it is part of, is one of the most insidious of these lines of attack, Steve, because it's taking place before our very eyes. And yet, most of us are unaware it's happening. It's being done in this international organization. And the idea is that the fellow who is the director general, a Chinese Communist Party surrogate, someone that they placed in that position for this purpose, I think, Tedros Ghebreyesus is his name, would be under a new set of arrangements that are being negotiated as we speak, to have the power to determine what is American and other nations' public health policy with respect to anything that's called a public health emergency of international concern. And it turns out, get this, that it isn't just human health emergencies that Tedros Ghebreyesus would be able to tell us when we have one and what we have to do about it. It's also animal health and even plant health emergencies that he would be able to dictate. So you get the whole climate change deal, as well as everything from, gun violence to, our immigrants without documentation, as they like to say, getting adequate health care, is abortion care being sufficiently provided, and so on. A transgender, health accommodations. These are the sorts of things that are none of the business, I would argue, of even the federal government of the United States under our Constitution, let alone some foreign power. But that's what's afoot right now, and you're absolutely right to put your finger on Joe Biden, because he is actively supporting and enabling this crushing of American sovereignty, and it must not go forward.
I it's chilling just to hear you say that, Frank. And to me, it seems as if, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I don't want to overstate it here, but it seems to me that Joe Biden has no real loyalty to country. And I think this is a problem with the Democrat Party. I think it's party first, party second, party always with them. But with Biden, it's even more insidious. It seems that it's what's in it for the big guy? How much can I make off the back end? And yes, I'll happily sell my nation's sovereignty out the back door, provided you give me a little bit of filthy lucre through the front door. I mean, he seems to be in it for profit, and the media is just ignoring it. No shocker there. Is that kind of what you think, that Biden is just a self-serving grifter? Because that's what it looks like.
I think at some point you have to say that that's not the satisfactory or full explanation. You know, you say it's party first, party second, party. Well, I think you could argue that it's party for Joe Biden too, only it's the Chinese Communist Party, whose controlled asset, I believe, Joe Biden actually is at this point. So it may be that he thinks he's furthering the interests of the Democrats. I don't know. But he certainly thinks that it's not only going to be good for him, but it is doing what he is told, which is something I think he's been doing very consistently throughout this presidency. In fact, I think it's no exaggeration to say, Steve, that every policy this guy has promulgated, whether it's on the domestic side of the House or on the international, has two things in common. They've all been bad for America, and they, I think, have all benefited the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue with that. Nobody can, to date, nobody can make sense of the wide open southern border. And that goes to your point. Do you think, Frank, it's because they've got so much dirt on Joe Biden that they've got him got him in a ringer and saying, you're going to do this, that, and the other, or else we're going to release this, that, and the other in the public square?
I have no idea, but I will tell you this. One of my colleagues, who's contributed a lot, by the way, to our book, The Indictment, is a fellow by the name of Trevor Loudon. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's taken the view that Joe Biden, going back to his first run for the United States Senate, was essentially, I guess, a made man, you might say, by the Soviet Communist Party, because they used a front organization called the Council for a Livable World to largely finance his campaign. You know, it's a small state, so it didn't take a lot of money and effort. But he nonetheless was, from that day forward, enthralled with a pretty radical leftist, in fact, Marxist program. And he got a reputation for being kind of a centrist, moderate Democrat, mostly because of his racism and his affiliation with certain, Ku Klux Klan types like Robert C. Byrd. But the reality of it is, I think on foreign policy for sure, on relations with adversaries like the Soviet Union and then Russia and China, most especially, there may be an ideological component to this as well, but maybe it's just the grifting. I don't know. But whatever it is, it comes down to the same bottom line. And that is, like a lot of other friends, and we're arguing they should be prosecuted in this indictment as well, of China, elites that have been captured by the Chinese Communist Party, they're advancing the agenda of the mortal enemy of our country, and it is determined to destroy us. They're aiding and abetting that process. Wow. And this is a criminal activity, it seems to me.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest bombshells in the book? Obviously, we want people to buy the book. It looks to be a wonderful book. My wife is a manager at Barnes & Noble. She called me 10 minutes before we went on the air, and she goes, I'm holding his book right now. I'm like, yeah, I figured you might. So they've got it at Barnes & Noble. Of course, you can get it at Amazon and wherever you buy your books, I guess. But why don't you tell us, what are some of the big tidbits, not so much tidbits, but bombshells in the indictment prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and friends? What are some of the things that you found that would shake people up?
Well, just a word about the structure of it so that people have a sense of what we're talking about. We've got 9 counts in this indictment. The first starts with the fact, and it's a bombshell, 100 million people have been killed by the Chinese Communist Party. And I think that's probably conservative. Mostly they're Chinese. Some, as they say, and that's not inclusive of an even more staggering number, 400 million the Chinese boast of murdering in the womb as part of their population control. Why is that so important? Well, it's not only a calibration point for this unbelievably monstrous regime. Never in the history of humankind has there been anything like it. But it's also a warning to us. Do you think they will treat us better if they get their hooks into us than they treat their own people? I think not.
Yeah.
So that's one bombshell. The other eight of the indictments deal with their unrestricted warfare against us. Excuse me. Sorry.
Sure.
And so when you look at those,
Tedros is a puppet, though, is what you're saying.
No question, he's a puppet. He was selected by the Chinese Communist Party. They got him the job. He has done their bidding as the director general of the World Health Organization. And again, this is what makes what's afoot here so frightening, is we saw the kind of conduct of that organization under his so-called leadership in what I think of as pandemic 1.0. You know, he told us this thing came out of nature, not a laboratory. He told us that it was not transmissible to humans. He told us that if only we followed what they call the China model of masks and social distancing and lockdowns and jabs with inadequately tested so-called vaccines. And then not least, your vaccine passport, which assures that you've complied with all of that. That's the best way to deal with this. Well, that was done on an advisory basis. And look at the havoc that it inflicted on our people, Steve. And can you imagine how much worse it would be if not only any pandemic, but anything he conjures up as a public health emergency? He's able to tell you you've got it, and he's able to tell you what to do about it, and you have to do it. I can't think of a more outrageous, you know, abrogation of our constitutional rights and freedoms. And that's what we're at the cusp of doing. Just another bombshell that your audience ought to be aware of. The Chinese Communist Party, according to a man who 20 years ago, as the then defense minister of China, told a closed group of party leaders, has as its mission, in the form of the biological warfare program specifically, the depopulation of the United States so that it can be colonized by China. And you look at that biological attack, I think that's just a sort of proof of concept for what they think they can do to us and intend to. So these are the sorts of things that make this unrestricted warfare program of theirs and their multiple facets, the economic warfare, the political subversion, the energy warfare, the biological warfare, hollowing out our military, for example, so serious, and give rise to the other important part of the book, which is 20 specific actionable steps that we must take if we're to survive this country in the face of what the Chinese have in mind for us, which I fear includes in the future a shooting war as well as the pre-violent kind.
We're speaking with Frank Gaffney. The new book is Indictment. Frank, I tell you, that is all very, very scary. And it's, you know, it wasn't too long ago that we were hearing people throw around the term plandemic. And of course, they were immediately castigated as tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. This is nutty. This is, you know, Fauci, of course, got in on it. And now all of a sudden it doesn't seem so conspiratorial. It seems like it may be conspiratorial, but it's not a theory. It may be a practice now. Do you suspect that maybe this virus got out accidentally and then the Chinese just rolled with it? Or what is your suspicion about the origins of COVID and how it plays into this entire thing?
We did a previous book with a team of very experienced public national security practitioners. The finding of that book, which is entitled The CCP is at War with America, which is available, by the way, for free at ccpatwar.com, is that there's no evidence it came out of nature, none that's creditable or worth a dang. There is plenty of circumstantial evidence that it came out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, part of the biological warfare program of the Chinese communists. And in fact, just today, I think it's the chairman of the Chinese Centers for Disease Control actually suggested that something to the effect of, you know, the possibility that this came out of a laboratory can't be eliminated or precluded. Well, guess what? It came out of that laboratory, and the question of how it came out is still to be determined. We just don't have enough direct evidence to say. But what we do know, Steve, is this, and it's again central to the indictment of the biological warfare charge, and that is that once it was out of the laboratory, through whatever means, the Chinese Communist Party deliberately sent it to the United States and other parts of the world by allowing elderly people from Wuhan, in some cases others, to travel here and elsewhere when they wouldn't be allowed to travel inside of China.
Yeah, that was so startling. Attack.
To tell.
Yeah. That was the huge red flashing light when I said, wait a minute. Now, if I live in Wuhan and I want to go to Beijing, I'm SOL. I'm out of luck.
Right.
But if I want to go to London, or if I want to go to Prague, or if I want to go to New York, it's all aboard. I don't know how
we actually were told that they may have subsidized people coming, elderly people coming from Wuhan to visit their friends and family in the United States. Yeah.
To seed it. God almighty. Yep. That is now let me ask you this, Frank. Obviously I saw your little blurb with a whole bunch of other congressmen on the steps of the Capitol the other day. How many Republicans are backing this? Hey, we got to back out. We got to get Tedros the hell out. We got to get World Health Organization has no business being in our business. How many of them are signed up for this, and any Democrats amongst them?
Well, the Democrats, I don't know that we've got anybody. I think that Bobby Kennedy Jr. is aligned with us, but I don't know that he's spoken to the point in this context as he's now presidential candidate for the Democrats, but I'm hoping he will. I believe there are a number of other Republicans who simply couldn't make it to the press conference on that particular date and time. But I think we're well shy of, you know, the majority of the Republicans, simply because I think most of them are unaware that this is a problem, that what's going on. And that's not an accident. This is the thing that is so infuriating about it, Steve, if I may say. Joe Biden and his administration are all in on empowering this global governance, which as a practical matter is simply a vehicle, another means of achieving what the Chinese Communist Party is attempting to do, which is a new world order that they run. Global hegemony for China, not global governance by, you know, some new international elite. And Joe Biden is doing this basically behind closed doors. He's doing it in the World Health Organization, yes, but he's also doing it at the UN General Assembly. So we have concerns that what seems now to be in the offing is what they're trying to do in the public health space, to give some unaccountable bureaucrat, Tedros Ghebreyesus in this case, authority to tell us what our public health policy should be. They intend to give the Secretary General of the United Nations similar authority in the non-health global complex crisis space come September when the UN General Assembly meets in New York. That's another problem, and it's just of a piece with the unrestricted warfare we believe needs to be prosecuted, not accommodated.
Right. We have to take a real quick break. I want to come back. I want to touch on, if we could, I don't know what your thoughts on the whole scandal with Christopher Wray not turning over this document, but I kind of, because I've got you, I want to ask you about it because you're a man in the know. So if let's take a real quick break. We'll be right back. My guest today, Frank Gaffney, author of the brand new book, The Indictment, Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World. We'll be right back on The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio.
with his expert analysis and opinion.
This is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Monday was Memorial Day here in the United States, a day when we honor those who gave the last full measure of devotion to our country and honor the Gold Star families who live with the loss of their loved ones, not just once a year, but every day. A traditional slice of Americana, it's typically marked by local parades, family cookouts, and a trip to the ice cream store. I'm blessed to have a roadside ice cream stand 300 meters up the road from me. And I just treated myself to an ice cream cone. There was a young family directly ahead of me in line. The parents looked to be around 30, and the children 4 and 6. When the father got to the front of the line, he saw a sign above the window and said, "Oh, you're cash only? We're going to have to come back." And then he said to his children, "Let's go, guys. We need paper money. We're going to have to go to an ATM. Well, what if it wasn't just the ice cream stand that was cash only? What if it was our entire society? What would you do? Do you have enough cash on hand to pay your bills to keep food on your table? And what if it wasn't just an internet outage, but the government shutting down your ability to use a central bank digital currency? Things to think about." From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. My guest today, Frank Gaffney. Frank, thank you so much for hanging in. It looks to me as if, especially after hearing you talk about basically the wholesale of our sovereignty to WHO and also to the UN, that all of a sudden starts to, the puzzle pieces start to come together when you start talking about ESG and DIE and CRT and all of this social crap that's coming down on us. Is that all part of the same puzzle, Frank, before we get to the FBI?
100%, Steve. What we're talking about is the full Marxist playbook. And whether it's being promoted and insinuated by the Chinese Communist Party here through techniques like TikTok, for example, or through the Confucius Institutes and their other ties into academia or Hollywood or the media or business, let alone the political elites. Those are the fruits of this so-called elite capture by them. But on the domestic side, you have, of course, a whole cadre of Marxists, many of them Maoists, who now run institutions like our educational system, for example, and some of those others that I've mentioned, the broadcast media and, you know, the culture in Hollywood, not least. These are the sorts of things that promote this idea that America is a racist, systemically racist country, that capitalism is a vile and oppressive form of economic activity, and communism is much to be preferred, or socialism. This is the takedown of America in progress and brought to you, yes, by enemies foreign and domestic who happen to be ideological soulmates and have a similar belief that only when we're gone will the world be a better place, and needless to say, one that they will profit from.
Yeah. And of course, they'll never live by the same standards they're trying to put on us. I mean, I doubt that there's an LGBTQ plus AYZ organization in China that gets a lot of government attention. Well, it may get attention, but not in the way that that we're giving it here.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so and you know what, Frank? It also, when you say this, it sounds to me also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like there's a whole bunch of useful idiots. They may not even know what they're doing by promoting this crap, like Hollywood types you mentioned. Maybe some of the power brokers in these studios may know, But I would wager that your standard B-rate star or starlet has no clue that they're actually the puppet of the CCP when in fact they are.
Yeah, that's a wonderful term, and it's credited to Lenin. I'm not sure whether he actually came up with it first, but there are a lot of people who are witless, and they're exploited shamelessly. The trouble is that when you have this kind of concerted, disciplined, patient, long-running effort to suborn people, usually with pay, sometimes it's, you know, sexual entrapment, sometimes it's other forms of coercion or influence, ideological influence. But mostly, I think it's the money in our country. How far down it goes, whether it's B level or whether it's below, I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is that a sort of, well, acceptable behavior in polite society is established, and you deviate from it at your peril. You'll be canceled. You'll be censored. You may get re-education camps in due course. Where we're headed, if the Marxists have their way, and this is why I'm prayerful, Steve, that this book will be a corrective, especially if not only folks like your audience take it aboard, but if they also ensure that the people that they have elected to represent them take it aboard as well and look at those 20 action steps and say, you know, we can't persist in what we've been doing. Mm. We can't pretend it's not a problem. We can't be appeasing it or accommodating it in any way. We have to be resisting it. Only through doing so, among other things, getting ourselves on a war footing like the Chinese have done, and removing from positions of leadership people in the elites, whether it's in the private sector or the public sector, who are currently our leaders. I mean, for heaven's sakes, just take this one thought aboard. If, God forbid, we find ourselves in the near future, possibly, in a shooting war with the Chinese Communist Party, do you think we can possibly have a guy who has been working for them, who is at best compromised, at worst is captured by them, is a controlled asset, according to my colleague Sam Faddis, a career intelligence officer of the Chinese Communist Party, as the commander-in-chief of the United States military?
Jeez Louise. Well, it's certainly it's not lost on me that this stuff really, really has ramped up in the last 2.5 years since Biden took office. I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see it. And speaking about our elite leaders and some of these enemies from within, that's a perfect segue into what's going on with the FBI and, for that matter, the White House and the Oval, not releasing a report that the whistleblowers in the FBI say do exist, which proves conclusively that Joe Biden is very much in cahoots with his son Hunter, and they have been getting payoffs. Now, I saw on the news this morning they were talking about it, and the word is that today's the day. Christopher Wray better turn it over, although I think he does have a meeting tomorrow with Speaker McCarthy, among others. And they want this. They want this document that's apparently not classified. And Christopher Wray has been resisting at all costs to turn this over. I suspect it's because a lot of heads could roll, and a lot of major bombshells would be, the media would be forced to cover them. What do you think about all of that? Because Christopher Wray seems to be really treading very close to insubordination. I mean, he's not giving anything to the oversight than Congress. What do you think about all of it?
To put a fine point on it, it's a contempt of Congress. It's not just, not being polite. He is being absolutely intransigent. And, again, coming against the backdrop, particularly of all of the stuff that was in John Durham's report about the extent to which the FBI has been absolutely malfeasant. It has been operating outside of the law. It has been engaged in politics. It has chosen favors. It has subverted not only a presidential candidate, but the president of the United States. And Christopher Wray is up to his eyeballs in all of this. And I believe that, you know, his removal from office is another example of the kinds of captured elites that I'm talking about. That has to happen if there's any hope that we'll get back to the rule of law. And the idea that this unclassified document, FD 1023, they're calling the form, that a whistleblower alerted the Congress to its existence, is being withheld. And continues, as best I can tell, to be withheld, is just grounds for, if not the forced resignation, certainly the impeachment of Christopher Wray as the FBI director.
And that kind of goes, and that directly goes, because, I mean, let's just say, hypothetically, Frank, that today Christopher Wray says, you know what, on second thought, we've classified it now, you're not getting it, which I could see happening. If that happens, there's no out for us, is there? The only out would be the 2024 elections, the retaking of the Senate, and, of course, the Oval, the White House, and then and only then. I mean, is that how bad it's gotten? That, in other words, is he going to be able to hold out against Comer? Because, I mean, Comer and the House, they've got a lot of power here. But even that's being subverted, it seems. What do you suspect?
Well, I think the Congress is now putting the hammer down. They're not going to give the FBI, I believe, another headquarters building, one that is said to be twice the size of the Pentagon. This hurts them where they live. I think that the idea that there will be withholding of funds, there will be punishment meted out, at the very least, in terms of restricting what the FBI has the wherewithal to do, is going to force the hand of Christopher Wray and his colleagues. There needs to be a wholesale, clearing out of those who have been complicit in one or the other of these illegal activities in the FBI. Right. This is, after all, the premier law enforcement arm of the United States government, for heaven's sakes.
But, you know, Frank, it's also not just the FBI, it's the CIA. You've got, and the DNI. You had Clapper, you got John Brennan involved here. Hell, Leon Panetta signed that 51, the ex-spooks that said, oh, this looks like classic Russian disinformation. It seems like are the seventh floor of the FBI and perhaps other agencies located around Quantico and our intelligence agencies are just, it's metastasized cancer. It's rotten to the core. I that's going to take years to figure that all out, no?
Well, it may not take that long to clean house. It may take a little longer to put back together the kind of capabilities that we need. Look, we live in a very dangerous world. We do have both hostile foreign enemies, and we have certainly domestic enemies as well. We need people who understand those truths and are capable of defending us against them as they must. But it's not the current crop, and it's not the current organizations, unfortunately. So there's going to have to be something of a do-over. I pray that this Republican Congress will get it started and get it started right quick. They're a little slow to the mark, to my way of thinking, at the moment. And especially if they indulge any further in the obstructionism and, you know, other skullduggery of Christopher Wray, then, you know, they're going to miss the window to do something that is desperately needed by our country. And more to the point, they're emboldening our enemies. This is the key takeaway, I really think, of this book, is the kind of contempt that the Chinese communists have for us, being governed by one of their controlled assets and having so many of our leaders in the financial sector, other business leaders, as I said, Hollywood, the media, academia, and political affairs, working for them, and we are doing nothing about it, can only reinforce Xi Jinping, the dictator of China's conviction that he can have his way with us, I'm afraid. We must disabuse him of that urgently.
Yeah, and that means it's going to take a stiff backbone. I must say that I'm pleasantly surprised with the job that Speaker McCarthy has done thus far, but it's going to take a lot more, it sounds like, is what you're saying, Frank. And it's going to take a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure that you bend these guys' ears all the time. Are you sounding the alarm? And surely you're not the only one.
I'm doing my level best. That's why this book is out. And I'm gratified that it's a bestseller now on Amazon. And yeah. I think that's because the American people know something's wrong. They may not understand it in all of its detail, but they know we need different a course correction. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish.
Well, listen, God bless you, Frank Gaffney. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for getting the word out. Folks, the book is, and it's a good one now, the indictment prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and friends for crimes against America, China, and the world. Frank Gaffney, we'll have you back again, I hope. God bless. Thank you, sir.
I look forward to it.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up on TNT Radio, it's the Patrick Henningsen Show. Until tomorrow, I'm Steve Hook on TNT Radio. Goodbye.